Welcome to the Voices of Legacy. I'm Pastor Carl, and my guest today, which I'm very excited about having him, none other than the Venerable Bishop Larry G. Mack. What's the G for?
Gene.
Okay. And he's a junior. He's a dynamic leader and trailblazer, entrepreneur who serves as senior pastor of Greater Dreams Church in Wayne, Michigan. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
He's, a thoughtful leader who carries out the mission throughout a range of channels in ministry, both global humanitarian outreach, inspirational conference series, media, and entertainment venues across the world through his leadership forums. He's been able to effectively carry the message of Jesus Christ in love to many, many people with his influence felt across the globe. Bishop Mack has dedicated his life to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's a reflected figure in the Christian community and has shared his message of numerous platforms, including global conferences, university campus, and so forth. Bishop Mack has also hosted multiple television shows on TCT Network. What does TCT stand for again?
Total Christian Television.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. With a reach that spans over 73 million viewers in 172 nations. Bishop Mack's academic credentials are, unequaled and impressive, having earned a doctorate in theology from Harvard International in Finley.
My grandmother was bragging on me one time and said, my baby
went to Harvard.
I didn't say nothing. I just let her say it.
We're correcting that today. And a master's in Christian counseling from the School of the Bible Theology Seminary University. Bishop Mack is a member of TRIGA, T-R-I-G-A, the Redeemed International Gospel Assembly, an organization that covers hundreds of churches globally. His current residence in Michigan with his wife, beautiful wife, Miss Regina, Pastor Regina, Minister Regina.
Yeah, Pastor Regina.
And their two daughters and their son, Ethan, which we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Mm-hmm. Bishop Mack's dedication to family, ministry, and community is been evident over the years of his service. Good morning, Mr. Larry Mack.
Thank you so much. Good morning, sir.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself that I didn't say.
I'm finishing my PhD in life coaching.
Oh, wow.
I'm working on probably about five books right now at the same time, trying to really just leave a legacy, leave a deposit in the earth. So when you put something in print, generally it's there forever.
Yes.
So that's one thing we're doing. And then just trying to enjoy being 55 and the father of a young man that's 3 years old now. We had him since he was 2 days old.
Wow.
And this morning he just was running around the house. He said, "Daddy, we boys, you know?" And I said, "Yeah, man," because I had two girls. Yeah. So now having a son is just fun, you know? So
now your girls, they're
23 and 26.
Oh, so.
Yeah.
Wow, you're starting all over.
Uh-huh.
How's that feel?
Oh, it's really wonderful. It's challenging at times, but I wouldn't trade it for the world, you know?
Well, since we're there, mm-hmm. could you share some of the challenges of your son?
He was adopted mm-hmm. at two. We were foster parents or are foster parents. We had about two or three young men before, but their family got their lives together. Mm. And then they gave us a call about a young man that was abandoned by his mother.
Oh, wow.
And so we went to the hospital when he was 2 days old, and we just said, "Boy," and my son is blonde and blue eyes, you know.
Wow.
And I remember when we brought him home. Well, really, let me tell you this, though. Mm-hmm. The situation was really grim for him. Mm-hmm. They said that he can't come home with us for like 2 months. But he was able to come home with us in less than 14 days because every day we held him and we prayed for him. And, you know, just gave him kinesthetic tactile stimulation, just a fancy word to say, a hug, and touching him and loving him for 4 to 6 hours every day. And he came home with us in less than 14 days. So he's been with us at home since.
Wow.
And, it's just been really wonderful just watching him grow and being a father all over again, carrying diaper bags. But I'm glad the diaper bag is almost over. Because, you know, he's three, so we still every once in a while we got to pack something for him. But it's amazing. It's one of the greatest feelings. Like a person that never adopted wouldn't know this, but I'm not for sure how it is if you have adopted a child as a teenager or something like that. But when you adopt a child, especially young like this, I can't tell no difference of the love that I have for him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a Mac now.
Yeah.
You know, when I take him to school, I took him to school this morning. I was like, "Hey, who's daddy's favorite guy in the world?" He says, "Ethan Nicholas Mac." You know, awesome. And so it's such a wonderful feeling.
Awesome, awesome. He looks like he has a lot of energy.
Oh, how do you know? Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. He gets up happy, smiling. You know, and daddy, you want to play with me? You know, I'm like, man, I'm tired right now. And then so I said, you got 15 minutes because we got to go to school. Mm-hmm. So I usually set the alarm. He hears it goes off. Then he's mad. I don't want to go to school, you know. And so and then in the morning, nighttime, he only wants to be with his mother, period. Mm-hmm. You know, he don't even say goodnight to me. He just mama's boy, right? In the daytime is daddy, daddy, daddy.
Awesome. You know? Awesome. So what would be your suggestion to someone that's looking to adopt or foster?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you have an opportunity to change the course of someone's life. Mm-hmm. And it's a sacrifice, mm-hmm. but it's worth the sacrifice because I can see where Ethan would have been had not he been with us, mm-hmm. you know. But then we're old, you know, when you're older, you're a better parent. Yeah. Sometimes you wish you could be a grandparent before you are a parent.
Well,
so
you only have me by 2 years, so you're still relatively young.
Yeah.
And Ethan's making you younger.
Yeah. Okay. What I'm saying is, you know, right now we parent better than we did.
Yes,
then.
That's true. You know, I have a 10-year-old, so I can definitely relate to that.
So my son, I know where he should be. And so like I could be hard on him in some areas.
Yes.
Because I want him to be disciplined.
Yes.
I want him to be a preacher. I want him to be president.
All right.
So I'm trying to train him early. And so, you know, and then his little mind be thinking, and his teachers even said he has a good vocabulary. He said, Ethan's vocabulary, you know, when you got older parents, you kind of talk different to mm-hmm. your child when you do. So, it's one of those things that you should embrace the moment and do it. Mm. You know, like I was in Paris and this lady had a Caucasian child. She was from Nigeria, something like that. And I said, hey, is that your child? I said, because my son is Caucasian, you know. She said, why'd you do that? You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. She said, I'm just babysitting. You know, so sometimes people can be ugly.
Yeah.
You know, my wife has, you know, Regina Mack. She has I don't know what you call it, but it's on Instagram. She has almost 1 million hits
wow.
on videos of mm-hmm. our son. And so people say certain things, mm-hmm. you know, because it's pretty consistent when you see a family, a Caucasian family that has a black baby.
That's true.
So you just kind of get used to that. But when you see a black family having a white baby, you get a lot of looks, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, I had to share with my wife, don't even let it bother you. Hey, it's not normal, really, you know, mm-hmm. so just, you know, just live it out, you know. And so I embrace it all, you know.
Absolutely.
I think you should do it, though. I think people should do it because there's a lot of kids out there that need a parent,
yes.
that need somebody. You know, all it is a little love and discipline.
It sounds like mm-hmm. a huge teachable moment from your family to mm-hmm. the world mm-hmm. Of mm-hmm. the blessing of humanity and caring mm-hmm. for people outside mm-hmm. of the expectations of mm-hmm. others. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter what you look like. It matters mm-hmm. that you're a human being. And mm-hmm. that child, that baby needed mm-hmm. care, and you guys supplied it. That's mm-hmm. an awesome, awesome blessing.
You know, I'm trying to find a language to tell him he's adopted. Don't know what that means, but I know it's not time yet. But because of his race, he's going to know earlier.
Yeah,
you know, than a child that, you know, that's of the same race.
Yeah.
So I worry about that. I think about it because I love this guy with all my heart.
Yeah.
And he's my guy. He's blood of my blood, bone of my bone, spirit of my spirit. I mean, he's everything to me, and I would become anything he needed to make him comfortable.
Wow. Wow. I'm going to have to get the Kleenex for me today. Can you share the inspiration as we switch gears a little bit? And thank you so much for sharing mm-hmm. that. The inspiration behind the founding of Greater Dreams Church and how it has evolved in the last 15 years or so.
Yeah, amen. Well, when I was, I believe in prayer. I believe in praying in the spirit a lot of hours. The scripture says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, but unto God, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Mm-hmm. So when you're praying those mysteries, you're actually praying your future. My mentor, Dave Roberson, had taught me those principles early on. And so I was 19, 20, 21. Dr. Sam, you know, a great friend of mine. We've been knowing each other about 35 years now, something like that. And so I used to take his lunch money in high school, even though he was older, but that's a whole nother story. So in the midst of prayer, I had woke up, fell asleep praying. And then I woke up and I fell back to sleep again. And I saw a book that said greaterthandreams.com, you know, right? So when I saw that, it was a motivational type of book, you know, thus one of my classes I had in, you know, working on my PhD in life coaching was, it's kind of like God taught me all the principles of life coaching, because it was like education means actually to draw out.
Yes.
It's not to put on. You're drawing out of something that's someone that's already in them.
Yes.
So this literally was like something drawing out of me. And I really began to cry because there was like a harmonic resonance with this book and I that, no, I am in the right direction because I love seeing people win.
Yes.
I love seeing dreams come to pass in the lives of people. That's my real passion right there.
Mm.
And so in the midst of all this, when it came time for me to start a church, because I had to obey God, I was in disobedience for like 10 years.
Were you running, sir?
You know, I really wasn't running. Yeah. It's just that I just wanted to do things decently in order. And,
yeah.
You know, I was with a church for many years, and I had to do something different. And, you know, I was preaching in Mexico when I got back from Mexico. It had been 10 years later since God told me to start Greater Dreams. And I said, you know, I'm going to start it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey you. I'm not going to fast, I'm not going to pray. I'm just going to simply obey you, you know.
Yes.
And it was difficult because I didn't have a plan B. Mm-hmm. You know, I have been in ministry full time.
Yeah.
And then when I started it, it was scary, you know, but God showed up for me. But this is the kicker, though. Now I'm seeing the fruit of what Greater Dreams is. It's helping people reach their God-given dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come to our church, every message is going to be some type of inspiration toward you becoming everything Christ is in you, to you, and through you.
Mm.
And so I believe in, you know, this is a belief that I believe is clearly written in the scripture. When Jesus says, he says, go into all nations.
Yes.
Isaiah says that all nations are going to come into the mountain of the Lord, meaning that the church is supposed to have influence in the world. See, the world has influence, but I believe God came to redeem his man and his land.
Mm.
And to me, that's the seven spheres of influence also. I'm talking about, you know, the family. We're supposed to have influence in the family.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see in today's day, the family is turning different because the church is not in a place it's supposed to be. The second thing is not just family, but religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not religion, but a relationship with God. And so we're supposed to lead when it comes to that type of thing. And then you have media. We have arts and entertainment. We have sports, politics, in every sphere of influence. We should be in those moments because the earth is the Lord's.
Yes.
He didn't give it to Satan at all. It belongs to the Lord. The greatest influence in the earth is supposed to be us. That's why Jesus says, occupy until I come.
Yes.
In other words, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So we're supposed to dominate the world, not the world dominate us. And so my heart's passion is to help people reach not just their dream, but the dream that's given to them by God. And so in serving humanity with it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody become a multimillionaire, but I do believe that we should put kingdom first. And so wherever that lays, it lays. A good example is, you know, like when you got George Washington Carver, many people don't know that he was a man of God. He prayed 4 hours a day and all his ideas he had gotten from God. But then yet at the same time, he didn't allow his color, his race to hinder him. He didn't care what you thought about him. Is what he thought about himself. So he didn't get into those type of altercations when it came to race situations.
Yes.
But so he had so much influence that Edison, Ford asked him to work for him. You know, but he said, I got to help the poor people that are in the South. So if he was all about me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity, then he would have took that money and took that job.
Oh, yeah.
But he was about helping people. And I believe when you put the kingdom first, God supplies all your needs all the time. And so he used his gifts to help people. And of course, he had benefit from it. And of course, he ate from the crumbs of the table. There was a time when Booker T. Washington was nervous because they had stored up so many peanuts, and now it's starting to smell in the area. And the powers that be were saying, we're going to do something really bad. You're going to kick you off this campus, whatever, unless you do something about it. And George Washington Carver ended up coming to work today, because at that time he started working for him in the university, Tuskegee Institute. And this is what he said. He said, George, we're in a situation. You got to help us. You know, he said, man, what is it? He said, we got all these peanuts. He said, you know, speaking of that, God spoke to me this morning about peanuts. He said, God talked to you, because he thought he was going cuckoo because of hearing voices. Then he's like, what did he say? He said, well, he had showed me about different things that you can do with a peanut. I asked him for the secrets of the universe. He said, today, George, I'm going to tell you the secrets that are inside of a peanut. And so he had over 300 inventions as a result of that conversation that he had with God. And then he caused a brand new industry. I mean, you remember Forrest Gump in the movie when he said shrimp and potatoes, gumbo shrimp. But, you know, it was like peanut butter, peanut oil. I mean, you know, so it was all types of inventions that came out from one man's relationship with God. And I'm saying that to say he had influence.
Yes. And that influence brings out the potential in people when you help them be what they're created to be.
Yeah, everybody has a bliss, that thing that's in you that you desire to do. And I want to help bring that out. Yes. I want to help you realize and actualize your God-given dreams.
Thus, greater dreams.
Yes.
Awesome.
I guess that was a long way to say that's why I started the church.
That's all right. I believe that's inspirational. Mm-hmm. And in that, I guess, dichotomy of different means of getting that message across, you've put your pinky toe into television and multimedia. Is that so?
Yeah, it is so, yeah.
Your television show on TCT Network has reached an audience of about 172 nations.
93 million people.
Wow.
Actually, in that, I never had my own show. Mm-hmm. Hosting. Yeah. I hosted shows on TCT. Mm-hmm. I hosted shows for Dr. Garth, hosted shows called Ask the Pastor. I still do Ask the Pastor now because they moved. Yeah. And I had a great time doing it. I started doing it as a co-host. Mm-hmm. And then the opportunity came up for me to host. Mm-hmm. Then I started hosting. And
how's that global platform affected your ministry?
Well, TCT, you know, like some places I go, people recognize me, you know, because it's a TCT reaches a different genre of people, you know, so it's not necessarily reaching. See, my ministry is mixed, you know, like I believe in the kingdom. So it's not black or white. It's all races, all ages, all social and economic backgrounds. So TCT did me good, but maybe other people that have more of an Afrocentric type of flair, it wouldn't be that influential for them.
Yes.
Because I operate the way I do, I think it caused doors to open up for me. But then at the same time, people recognize me. But like when it comes to me in Africa, you know, I just got back from Pretoria, Africa. I was in Pretoria, Africa, Johannesburg, then Zambia. We did a conference there. It was in Ethiopia. And then I came back, had to go do some ministry in Mexico. So this month was November was a very busy month for me. But those doors started about maybe 15 years ago, just one visit, you know, and then, you know, you can be waxing on and waxing off. You know what I mean when I say you're going through this process that you don't know that you don't even know that it has significance.
Yes.
I'm in this series called Can I Have My Coat Back? And it's really dealing with the three coats of Joseph. But then this part of process, when I looked at the coats, you got the dream coat, the favor coat. But then they's taken from you. And now you can't get your favor from outward exterior circumstance. Now you have to get your favor from God now. So it's, it pushed him to go inward, and he lost everything because God wants to get all the glory, right?
Yes.
So like you can be in that place with your servant's role, which is a very important role, learning how to serve before you lead. And you're waxing on, waxing off, and that's how I did that for years. Then a young man or older guy came to my church who was from Africa, Apostle Uche Ndibisi, who's the president of the Redeemed International Gospel of Sinistry, where I am a bishop in that organization. I never saw him from Adam, but I gave him a prophetic word, and it spoke to his dream. And it spoke, he said, man, you don't even know me, you know, and then so he said, I want you to come to Africa with me. So we went to Africa. Mm-hmm. That opened up that door. Then I noticed that people, preachers and fivefold ministry gifts was following me everywhere I preach. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, I didn't know why they were doing it. And so the last meeting, this older bishop named Bishop Nelson, he introduced me. He said, this guy, he says, I've been preaching the gospel for over 45 years and studying this Bible. Every time he preaches, I learn something that I never known before. And I might have read that scripture 1,000 times and I got scared. I was like, oh, man, I can't make this magic happen, you know. So I'm trusting the Holy Ghost. And so I remember getting behind the pulpit. The Holy Spirit came up on me and gave me something fresh and new. And then I realized that I was waxing on, waxing off, being a servant in my cave, in my pit, not understanding the revelation and insight that God was giving me.
And preparing you.
Yeah, preparing me. And then in that moment, it exploded.
How do you balance your entrepreneurial ventures and your pastoral duties and family?
That's, you know, it's difficult to balance that, you know, really, mm-hmm. because something, you just got to go through seasons for me, seasons work. But like even in Africa this last time with my son, we FaceTime a lot. So it's 2 a.m. I still got to get up at 6 a.m, but I'm talking to him at 2 a.m. because it's important to me. Mm-hmm. And we're playing and I'm acting, you know, with him, you know, and then, you know, you got to sacrifice some sleep sometime, you know, and then you trust the Holy Spirit, you know, to do what he needs to do in those conferences and those meetings, you know, but, and then, you know, when it comes time to spend time with my wife, I try to be in the moment. I didn't used to be, but now I learn to be in the moment and that how moments are precious, you know. Like, for example, I had went through a season like in 2023. I said, I'm turning pro, you know, and so I don't want to be an amateur with my life anymore. Amateur, the Latin word where amateur comes from, it means to do it for love. And love is fickle. It's up and down. I feel love. I don't feel love, you know, whatever. But when you turn pro, you show up every day.
Yes.
And so 2023 was my year. I said, I'm turning pro. Wow. So I was weighing 207. I went down to 178. I started studying masculinity and femininity. I wanted to know the dynamic between chemistry and how come two people cannot love each other their whole life long. So I started studying. I spent probably that year about $10,000 on my body and my mind as it pertains to being a man, being a father, being a husband. Mm-hmm. And so in those classes, I became very effective and began to teach our men that too at our church. However, like for example, you know, a female, excuse me if you're offended, but a female will argue, you know, real high, right? And so me not having a father in my life, because if you don't have a father, you don't have discipline. They know how many prisons to build based upon how many children grow up in a household without a male influence by the time they're 18. Yeah. So at the same time, because of that, you've got people in prison because they're emotional. When you don't have a father in your life, you are more emotional, right? You make emotional decisions. And so when my wife would maybe raise a voice or something, I'll raise my voice too. Mm-hmm. And so then when I do that, I'm acting like the feminine.
Yeah.
And so what I have to learn to do through those classes is try to keep it in my masculine. Mm-hmm. The masculine stays calm, even though the feminine goes high. And I always tell my men, when they go high, we go low, right? Just keep it there because you feel safe.
Yeah.
You know, she feels like you can handle me. She feels like she's covered. Mm-hmm. And so I learn how to spend time with her and allow her to vent, right?
Yeah.
And then be in the moment with her and then just still be calm and don't even argue back, but just talk to her, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I usually be on my phone or something. Mm. So with her, I can't even be on my phone.
Yes.
If we're driving in a car, I can't be on the phone. Mm. If she's driving, I can't be on the phone, right?
Oh, yeah.
But if I'm driving, she can be on the phone. If she can be on the phone anytime she wants to, which I don't think is fair, but let me tell you something. I've been around the world, and all women are the same.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
You're giving me flashbacks right now.
Everybody cracks up, right? You know, so because I study the female species, when it comes to my wife, I'm getting better at being in the moment and making her feel important, because I may think I'm spending time with her, but if she don't feel like I am, then I'm not.
Yes.
And so when it comes to my son, I know the importance of being with him. Mm. So I give him those moments when we wrestle, you know. And I got mad. We were pretending. I said, "You be the daddy, I be the son." And then he's being the daddy. He said, I said, "Daddy, can we play with me?" He says, "No, son, I got to go to work." You know, that hurt me.
Yeah.
So now when he wants to play, I said, "I'm going to give you 10 minutes a day, or I'm going to give you 30 minutes, you know, so I'll set the timer and we go wrestle." Because I learned through study that when you wrestle with your son, he feels loved,
mm-hmm.
right? So I don't know why, but he acts like he's T-Rex. He knows all the dinosaurs too.
Oh,
and
wow.
He wrestles with me, and then we're like going, he's cracking up laughing. And so I try to be in those fun moments just like that, taking advantage of every moment.
Wow. So that would actually answer the other question, as well as balance. What advice would you offer young leaders aspiring to make a global impact in their through their faith and through their work, through whatever God's called them to do?
Yeah, you know, this is important to me. If I had to do it over again, I would, if you could not be needy emotionally, needing someone to love you. See, my mother had when she was 14.
Oh, wow.
And she wanted me to be independent because her mother died when she was 12 and her grandmother died when she was 12. So she had no influence. And so she had me at 14, but she thought she was going to die early because the two matriarchs in her life died early. So she didn't want me to be dependent upon anybody. So she raised me very independent. But in that, she didn't show me much affection. So when I grew up, I needed it. Uh-huh. I wanted it. And then when you need something, you're not attractive. Mm-hmm. So you got to learn how to balance that.
Yeah.
So my advice to someone young is, do things in the right season. Don't rush to get married. Mm-hmm. Learn who you are, because you would choose the wrong person because you don't even know who you are. You don't even know your gifts, your talent. You don't know even where you fit, and you want somebody in your life that complements that, right?
Yeah.
And then don't marry your lust. Marry someone that will help you with the objectives that you have, mm-hmm. and then learn eskorge in how to grow
That's
love
so true.
And friendship. So this is the final thing. I would get my education first. I would, if I could go to Harvard, I go to Harvard. I can go to Cambridge, I go to Cambridge. I'll pay that price and sacrifice, because the more effective you are, the more stable you are as you begin to grow, the more attractive you'll become.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to choose at a higher level. Mm-hmm. And I just happen to choose good, you know, but still, I would work on me first. You know, a guy can live in a car and go to college. I mean, you don't have to take care of a family.
That's true.
And try to pursue purpose.
You hit on a lot of points. I feel like I need to buy your book before it's written. Now, you said you had a book that's...
Well, I got some smaller books. One is called Inches. It's talking about really, I call it ACE, you know, your awareness of yourself, then confidence, and then you want to learn how to grow as a leader, and faith and expectancy. And so it's really called Inches, and it's really dealing with self-awareness, it's dealing with confidence, and it's dealing with, I forget the E, because I wrote this book a long time ago, but it has to do with developing you personally in these areas. And then if you do this, it'll affect everything out here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's simple, but it's called Inches. Just do a little bit at a time, right? But I'm working on the reason why everything is on hold, because I have to finish this book that I promised God I'd do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really dealing with, I know it's a popular subject, but it's not called The Power of Confession, because I didn't name it that, but it's dealing with when I had a crisis in my life and I needed God to show up. I had nobody to turn to but Him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned that you don't get from God what you believe. You give from God, you don't give from God what you deserve.
Yes.
You give from God what you believe, right?
Wow.
And then so, you know, like when I was in Haiti, I was preaching this on a secular radio station, and I dealt with how the woman with issue of blood had touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, "Woman, your faith has made you whole," right? So you got to develop your faith.
Yes.
And so, and I learned through the power of confession that you're not twisting God's hand. You're doing the John 6:29 thing when he says, "This is the work of God that you believe." So you got to do the work to believe what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. And so I begin to confess it over and over again, 20 to 30 minutes, three times a day, every day, and as far as getting out of debt and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
My God supplies all my needs according to the riches and glory of Christ Jesus. For I know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when he was richer for me, he became poor, that me through his poverty might be rich. Just memorized it and used it as a weapon. And I didn't know my mind was being renewed to it and opened up brand new channels in my brain to really, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So it took that long from the drop 12 inches from my mind to my heart. And when it dropped, I felt faith come around me, and I knew what has been was not what shall be. My situation is about to change, right?
Yeah.
And so one of the first things that happened is this guy was selling a car for $4,500. Because I've been confessing that word like that, the word starts speaking to you. The Logos turns into a rhema, a right now word. And the Holy Spirit spoke out of that, and he said to me, he said, this guy take $400 for that car. I didn't have the guts to tell him that. I had $800. I said, I'll give you $800 for this car. The guy said, the car's worth $6,500. I'm selling it for $4,500, and you're getting a good deal. I said, well, if you change your mind, here's my number. I walked away. I said, see, God, I told you. If he didn't take $800, he wasn't going to take $400, right? He calls me the next day. He said, I'll take the $800. After I bought the car, he says to me, I said to him, why are you selling a car? He said, I just graduated with my PhD in medicine. I'm from India. My plane leaves today at 3 o'clock. You're the only person that offered me anything for my car.
Wow.
Then I took that car and sold it for $3,500.
Wow.
And I put pressure toward my problem. I tithe, sent an offering. I was helping Rick Renner build a church in Russia. And then I blessed my man of God and put the rest toward my bills. And within 18 months, I was debt free. That's why it's important for me to write this book, to teach people exactly how it works. I can give you testimony after testimony how God made things manifest in my life.
Wow. Sounds like faith to me.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the final question of today. We've covered a lot of ground, a lot of information. Looking ahead, as well as looking to the past, what do you think your legacy is, part one, and what would you like for it to be?
You know, I would like... If I could choose it, I would love to see my son pastoring Greater Dreams Church.
Wow.
And I have other spiritual sons pastoring other churches that we planted. And seeing my girls really blossom. My daughter wants to be a veterinarian, and my daughter's a businesswoman, but she's a speaker, so she'd probably end up pastoring one day. I would love to impart as a legacy to get people to not just know about God, but to know him in that prayer life and what it really means to have a real relationship with God and not a religious experience. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's my biggest heart, that you can know him and he's available and you can have much of him as you want. And but the enemy fights that. You know, you got to pay that every day. You got to seek after him. You go through seasons where you don't feel like you prayed in a while and you get back at it, you know. God sits in heaven, Psalms 14:2, looks down upon the children of men to see if there's anybody that seeks after him. So just teaching people how to seek after God for real and knowing his voice and how to be led by him, how to be guided by him. And that's a major legacy.
Sounds like experiencing the benefits. Forget yes. not the benefits.
Yes, that's it. And the major benefit is him.
Yes.
Yeah. He will stoop down to our level, and he will connect to our self-aggrandizement, or if you our flesh. Mm-hmm. He said, Abraham, follow me, man. I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make you famous. Come on, that's carnal, right?
Yeah, it is.
But then he started walking with him, and then the question came up. He's like, God, all I want is you.
Wow.
You know, so he knows how good he is, and so he'll appeal to our lower nature to bring us to a higher place.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Man, it's been amazing. Thank you for being with me, too. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Amen. And how can they follow you?
You can go to mygdc.org, and that's our website. And then you can follow Larry G. Mack Jr. on Facebook and YouTube. Look up Dr. Larry Mack, and it's easy to find us.
All over the world.
Yeah. Right. Well, sort of, you know, we're missing Germany a little bit. I've been to Germany, but we're not in Germany yet. I've been to Dubai. We don't have the influence we want, but Brazil, in the continent of Africa.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell, III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.